The disciples were shocked when Jesus told them that the Jewish temple would be destroyed. Already by that time, in its own way, it had become one of the wonders of the world. All massive buildings have about them a certain aura of being solid and enduring. And that is why we would feel secure standing in the shadow of a great cathedral. That kind of a building provides us with a certain solid link with the past. And the spires that point heavenward would be a sure indication of where our future lies. Now that kind of security, which has become one of the chief goals in this uncertain world, so often easily eludes us. And not the least of the causes of this kind of insecurity really comes down to the many cultural changes that are taking place today in our society so rapidly. Traditional attitudes toward work and play, education, sexual behavior, the role of women, all of these and more are being examined, questioned, and in many ways, rapidly revised. In a typical family, children will often opt for certain values that differ from those of their parents. Deep rifts will occur, and after a while, a family can begin to feel as if they were simply a collection of strangers trying to carry on a conversation and yet not succeeding very well at all. That same kind of alienation today is found often in our classrooms, where teachers struggle to calm down the troubled waters of confusion that accompany social change. Social change, that is the key to understanding what is happening today, the key to the cause of so many people's fears. Social change, upheaval. In the space of my own lifetime, we have gone from the Model T Ford to space travel, almost from the abacus to the computer. And we know that today the explosion of knowledge is occurring by a geometric progression. In chaotic times like these, people become frightened, and they are apt to do all kinds of crazy, irrational things. In his own day of impending social changes, Jesus was using the kind of language that his own people could understand about approaching changes then. He was simply trying to warn them not to lose heart and also not to lose their heads. In those days and in our day, we are all human. And one of the great human weaknesses we all have is constantly to lose sight of the big picture, of a sense of a perspective, and become aware only of the immediate crisis from day to day. That is why the followers of Jesus were so horrified when Jesus gave them in one fell blow the bad news about the coming of wars and earthquakes, famines, depressions, and the destruction of the temple. but he did more than warn them. He also told them how to deal with those kind of difficult times. Take care. Do not be misled. Do not be perturbed. Resolve not to worry, but try to stand erect and try to hold your head, for your deliverance is at hand. The message really contained in those words of Jesus is to be applied to today. He was describing cosmic changes that occurred not then, but today and in the future. The words of Jesus mean that whenever, as we are today, caught up in the midst of cosmic change, it is then that the creative spirit of the living God is at work in our world today. At work, but at the same time, painfully leading each of us individually as well as collectively by the hand through a time of transformation from an old world to a new creation, greater than any time of transformation we have ever seen in the past. The Spirit of the creative God creating harmony out of chaos, trying to teach us that the word crisis simply comes from a Greek word that means opportunity. Crisis is an opportunity to use creatively whatever happens, even when, as today, we live through a traumatic period of change. And it is the gift of our faith, made strong by prayer and the living word of God that we heard today, that continues to give to each of us, personally and as a community, the power to heal the irrational responses, to lose our head, but rather to go on living by faith, instead of adopting any kind of defeatist attitude that could lead to regrettable decisions. In my own personal experience, from the Model T Ford to the space age, I have personally seen more than my share of human tragedy, and at the same time witnessed the saving, healing faith prevent tragedy and turn crisis into opportunity. I shall never forget what happened in the Great Depression in 1929, when people truly were losing their heads. And in every town and every parish, there were stories that could be told and never forgotten. Part of one I learned as a child, and later learned the background. A mother was trying to make ends meet on $18 a week. She had five children to feed and clothe, and it was, of course, an impossible task. And one day, the grocer in town falsely accused her 11-year-old son of stealing a couple of pencils, and for her that was the last straw. As she told me years later, after I was ordained, she said, "I thought then, back in 1929, of all the misery we had endured, and I simply could not see any more hope. And I took my little five-year-old daughter into the bedroom one morning, and I turned on the gas heater that we had in the bedroom, and I did not light it. And as I lay there on the bed with my little daughter beside me, she said, 'Mommy, it's early in the morning. We just got up. Why are we back in bed?' And I said, never mind. We'll just take a little nap. And then she said, I closed my eyes. And I listened to the gas escape from the heater. And I shall never, never forget the smell of that gas. And as the mother lay there with her daughter, she heard music come from the kitchen, or even back in 1929, we did have radios from Sears and Roebuck, and it happened to be a hymn. She listened to the words of the music and suddenly realized the tragic mistake she was making. She had been trying to fight all of her battles alone. She had tried to block God out of her life. She jumped up, turned off the gas, opened the windows, and the rest of the day thanked God for her blessings. 5 healthy children. And later on, she told me, after she had lost her home, and the family moved to a tiny schoolhouse renting for $5 a month, she thanked God, at least a roof over her head. Over the years, depression gradually eased. She found work. Somehow she raised the children. And years later, she told me, when I look back on that dark, dark day when I'd lost all hope, how often I thank God that I caught my senses just in time. And whenever I discover anyone who would want to do anything tragic in life, I want to cry out in my own way to them, don't do it. Even the blackest moments that we live through really last only a short time. There's always the future. In the gift of faith that we have, in Christ we always have hope and a source of security that is not available to people without that gift of faith. People without faith see life simply as day after day of human activity and lots of blind chance. They say, if good things come your way, eat, drink, and be merry. Drink and be merry, and tomorrow we die. And they say, if you're unlucky and the cookie crumbles, just try to pick up the pieces. Some people can, and some people can't. And that's life, they say. But Jesus says something else. He does not ever promise us an absence of pain or problems. But he does always offer us his saving presence and healing hope that change whatever weakness we have into strength and all fears that we might have into new faith. Even when the cookie crumbles, even when the broken pieces are there, they can always be reshaped into something better than even the original. All crises, we can take the broken pieces and reshape them creatively into new opportunities. We go along in life, we struggle, we trust, and then the bad news hits us between the eyes. And the old feeling of insecurity and helplessness happens again. But always there is that tonic